Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to look at another one of the miracles tonight, and this is a very familiar miracle. It's Jesus walking on the water and Peter walking on the water, and I want to look a little bit at it tonight. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 14, of course this is recorded in Mark chapter number 6 and John chapter number 6 also, but here's what the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 22. And straightway, or that word also means immediately, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Now, Father, I pray that you help us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd use us as we preach tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help us to recall the things that we've studied, God. And, Lord, the things that you've given us on this, I pray, God, that the way you give it to me, God, that you'd help me to relay it to the people tonight and give it to the people tonight. I pray, God, that we would get help from your word. Save that sinner closest to hell in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to look a little bit at this miracle tonight of Jesus walking on the water. And of course, we know Peter walks on the water here also. And I'll not preach all of it tonight. I want to look at two different aspects of it tonight. And as I preach it, I'm not going to look at both of them tonight. I want to look at the Savior and I want to look at the sailors. And tonight, I want to take just a minute to look at the Savior in this miracle right here, which we all know, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about this tonight, and we think about all the miracles of Christ, this is one that is very familiar. If you've been in church any time at all, you've heard somebody preach on Jesus walking on the water and on Peter walking on the water. But I want to look at the Savior tonight and a few things that takes place with him in this miracle. Let's just jump into it. That way I won't be long tonight. Number one, I want you to see his speaking tonight. The Savior speaking tonight. Now, I know that he goes on down into verse number 27. He says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." He says in verse number 29, come, talking to Peter. He says in verse number 31, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, Matthew records more on this miracle than any of the others do. Matter of fact, the others record just very little about it, but Matthew records a lot. When I began thinking about this miracle right here and what Jesus says right here, immediately my mind goes back to verse number 22. Look what the Bible said. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. Now, I understand that verse number 22 is not written in red. It is not what they would consider the words of Christ. But Christ is saying something in verse number 22. We don't know what all it is that he says, but he talks to the multitude and then he talks to the disciples. He tells the multitudes to go away. He sends the multitudes away from him. And then he constrains the disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side. That word constrains there is simply this. Also, it is a commandment, or even some, when you study it out, it is a constraining where he physically puts them into the ship and sends them to the other side. I don't know which way it was, but I do know this. He told them boys to get into the boat and go to the other side. In other words, the Savior had spoke to them that day. Now, can I remind you, it's not the first time that they've ever heard the Savior speak. Matter of fact, if you've got a red letter Bible, if you look back in chapter 14, there's red letters there. If you look in chapter 13, there's a lot of red letters there. They have spent countless hours and countless days now with the Lord Jesus Christ. They have heard him speak. They have no doubt been near him on numerous occasions now. They have watched the Lord do great and wonderful works right in front of their eyes. Now, hear me and hear me well tonight. How many of us have saw God do some great things in our life? Have we not saw God answer some great prayers? Matter of fact, some of you sitting here tonight, it's because of the prayers that others have prayed for you. Some of you used to live a completely different life than what you live now. But because God done a miracle in your life, we have saw what the mighty hand of God and the power of God can do. Amen and amen again. God is good to us, and God has blessed us. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Jesus has spoke to them and told them to get into the boat and go to the other side. That's what he says. He says, get into the boat and go to the other side. I'm going to go apart on the mountain and I'm going to pray a while. Now, I don't know everything that he says. It's not recorded. Maybe Brother Aaron, he tells them, after I get done praying, I'll meet you on the other side. I don't know. All I know is that he tells them to go to the other side. Now, think about this. Every time he has said anything, it's always come to pass. Every word that he said has always been truth. Everything that he said to do, they've always found God to be faithful in doing that. The speaking of the Savior here, simply what I want you to get out of that is this. When he speaks to us, we can take him at his word. Did they get in the boat? Yes. Did they face a storm? Yes. Did they make it to the other side? Yes. Did they doubt God? Yes. Did they have to doubt God? No. They didn't have to doubt Christ. Why? Because he had already spoke the word. He had already spoke the word. When God speaks to you, when you hear the voice of God, you say, what is the voice of God? You go to reading that book right there and you'll hear the voice of God. When he speaks to us, take him at his word and understand he will do what he said he would do. Can I say this to you? It wasn't just any old person telling him to get into the boat. It wasn't just Matthew saying, boys, get into the boat. It definitely wasn't Doubting Thomas that said, get into the boat. It wasn't Peter. It was the Lord that said that. When God gives you a word, honey, take it to the bank. It's going to be all right. I see you speaking. Number two, I told you I'm going to try not to be long. Not only do I see you speaking, I see his supplication. I see his supplication in this. Know what your Bible said. He told them to get into the boat and go to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, verse number 23, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. I see his supplication. His supplication. Jesus has a prayer life. Note what he does. He goes apart into the mountain to pray. There's times that, and some of the men here has been to an area that I call my praying ground. Leslie went with me on Monday, but it's on the mountains where it's at. And I'll tell them as we're walking in there sometimes, I had a bunch of work done up there first of the week, and we can drive all the way in there now, but we're still going to walk. But I'll say, boys, the Lord went apart on the mountain to pray. There was a time of supplication. Now, I want you to understand something tonight. Jesus, in his foreknowledge, are you hearing me? Jesus, in his foreknowledge. Leslie and I was coming down the road today, and we were talking about the foreknowledge of God. How God knew how things would be today 25 years ago. 25 years ago. He knew the way things would be today. I told Leslie, this here's what we was talking about. We was talking about Miss Tina. Brother Brian and Miss Tina. Many of you know Miss Tina and I went to school together, and we was very good friends going through school. I looked at Leslie and I said, I sure am glad that we was nothing any more than friends ever in high school. I said, because it would be very hard to have the relationship we now have and work inside the church that we do now together. I said, God in his foreknowledge 25 years ago kept that from ever happening. And can I say something to you? God in his foreknowledge, Jesus in his foreknowledge, Jesus was as much God as God is God. Jesus knew what he was sending the disciples into. Are you hearing me? Jesus knew that a great big storm was just ahead of those boys. And you know what Jesus could have done? He could have gotten the boat and rowed with him. But you know what he done? Jesus went apart on the mountain up for a time of supplication. You say, what did Jesus go up there to pray about? I believe in all of my heart, Jesus went up there on that mountain to pray that God would strengthen and his disciples while they was in the midst of the storm. His supplication, he was praying for them. Let me read you a verse. Listen to what the Bible said in the book of Luke. Let me read you something right here. Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter, no, I don't have none of this wrote down tonight, so I usually have all of this already in my notes, so I don't have to turn, so you're just going to bear with me a minute. Listen to what he said. Luke chapter number 22, verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. You know what he said? He said, hey, Simon, Satan's after you. Satan's wanting to destroy you. His desire is to sift you as wheat. But look what he said in verse number 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know what he was doing? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, Satan is coming after you. Satan wants to kill and destroy and to ruin you. Satan wants to destroy your home and your children. But hear me and hear me well. God says through his son, I'm praying for you. There was a time of supplication when the Savior is interceding on the behalf of the disciples. I like it when my daddy says I'm praying for you. I like it when my mama says I'm praying for you. I like it when the preachers out of our church, we've all got a group message together. And on Saturday night, I sent out a group message to them. I do every Saturday night or Sunday morning. But this time, I said, I've got a very urgent special prayer request. And I still have that. And you know what those men said? Hey, preacher, we're praying for you. Man of God, we're lifting you up. Hey, I like every bit of that. I like it when my wife prays for me and my children prays for me. But here, hear me and hear me well. I've got somebody better than my daddy. I've got somebody better than my mama. I've got somebody better than the preachers out of our church. I've got the Son of God himself that's making supplication and praying for me. Oh yeah, there was his time of supplication. Listen to this. Listen to this. Now, Hebrews said this. Hebrews chapter number 7. Listen to what he said right here in verse number 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I see you speaking. He tells them, can I say it this way? His speaking or his sending. He sends them into the storm. But while they are headed to the storm, you know what he does? He says, I think I'll take a little bit of time alone. And I'll just go up into the mountain and I'll pray for them boys a little while. The Bible said that he was alone. I like praying with other people. I really do. I enjoy it when some of us get together and we go pray together and talk to the Lord together. I really do. I enjoy that. But boy, Brother Dakota, I enjoy those times when it's just me and the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, man. I know I've already said a little bit about it, but Monday evening I was out there washing my truck, and Miss Kayla had said the other day in a little devotion she shared with us, she had said the other day that she was trying to pray in thanksgiving to begin with. And she said, I find myself 20, 30, 40 minutes just praying and thanksgiving before I even get anywhere else in my prayer life. Brother Aaron, I've been trying to do that. I was out there and I was working on my truck trying to clean it up. Daddy told me to get a haircut, shave, and wash my vehicle before I ever went to a funeral. So I was trying to get all of it done for today. And I was out there washing on my truck and I just got to thanking God. Well, amen. I just got to thanking God for how good He is and how He has blessed me. That time alone, Jesus went alone to pray, and He was praying for us in doing that. I was reading after Ivor Powell. Boy, he's got some rich stuff. I was reading after Ivor Powell early this morning, and he was talking about verse number 23. And here's what he said. He said, and now maybe Jesus looks out and sees the disciples. He's apart on the mountain. Looks out over the sea and sees the disciples in the mess that they're in the storm that they're in. Hey, these sailors, and I'll say more about it probably Sunday, these sailors, some of them was very experienced seamen. They knew what it was like to be out on the sea in the middle of a storm. So it had to be very, very, very contrary winds for them to be so upset. And he looks out and he sees them. And here's what Ivor Powell said. Maybe Jesus ended his prayer this way that night. Father, I must go now. My friends need me. Father, I must go now. My friends need me. I shouted a little bit, Miss Stephanie come in the office, and I said, let me just read this to you. And I read all of it to her, and I said, now listen to the way he ends that. Father, I must go now. My friends need me. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said this, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Can I say something? Up these times that I'm in the storm of my life, and I make myself supplication known to him, and I just can't help but to wonder if he don't say, Father, hold on just a minute, my friend needs me right now. I see his speaking, I see his supplication, but I see this in closing. I see his stepping. Look at verse number 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Jesus, I'm not really even interested in walking on the sea. I'm interested in this. Jesus went unto them. Jesus went unto them. Whenever he goes apart into the mountain, it's evening tide. Whenever he goes in the fourth watch of the night, whenever you study that out, many of you know it's between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. From what I can find out in reading and studying, there's been around 8 hours that have passed since they have been in contact with Jesus. No doubt they're upset. No doubt they think that they're going to die. Are you with me? And all of a sudden, in the midst of the storm,
in the darkest part of the night, in the darkest part of the night, that fourth watch is the darkest part of the night, all of a sudden, in the darkest part of the night, you know what happens? Jesus comes unto them. Jesus comes unto. Brother Jim was testifying the other Sunday, and he said this. He said, I was at the hospital. I was on that hospital bed. And they said that I wasn't eligible for the treatment because of my age and several other things. And he said, that little doctor coming up in there and started walking me around. And he, Brother Jim, began talking about how he was praying that God would help him. You want me to tell you what happened that night in that hospital? You want me to tell you what happened? Hey, there was a step and took place. Amen. There was this, you say, what was it? He stepped out of the portals of glory and began, well, amen, began making his way towards the northern hospital and doing a work because he still needed Brother Jim around. I say, thank God for the times in the midnight hours when I pray to God and it seems he's nowhere around. Then out of the middle of nowhere, he steps out in the midst of my storm and speaks, peace be still. He came to them. They couldn't go to where he was at. They couldn't get to where he was at. They didn't even know where he was at. All they knew, he was apart on the mountain praying somewhere. And all of a sudden, there was a step. He came to them. Here's what I thought about, and I'm right now done. Miss Daniel, come start playing something. Here's what I thought about. Jesus could have stopped the storm from where he was at. Are you with me? He was God. He could have said, Brother Dakota, right there on the side of the mountain, he could have said, peace be still, and everything would have been calm. But he didn't. He didn't. Jesus chose to leave the mountain and come to where they was at so they could see him. Peter could feel him when he reached down and got a hold of Peter. And I began to think about that. Now, you may think I'm crazy, and if you are, that's all right. You just leave me alone because you ain't going to change my mind on what I'm fixing to show you. I began to think about that, Brother Josh. Jesus went to them. Go back to Genesis. So you're preaching on miracles. I know. Go back to Genesis. God created man. And let me tell you the reason God created man. You've heard me say this. It's because he longed for fellowship. And you've heard me say what I'm fixing to say, but stay with me. I'm headed, so I want you to stay with me. When God created everything that he created everything else from a distance. He spoke it into existence and it was. Let there be light and there was. Let there be stars and there was. Let there be a moon and there was. And let there be a sun and there was. And let there be earth and there was. And let there be mountains and there was. And let there be water and there was. And he got done with all of that and he said it was good. And then he said, I think I'm going to make man. And the Bible says that he reaches down into the dust of the ground and forms man in his own image. And look in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now you've heard me say this, but just let me say it again because it's helping me right now, okay? For me to breathe into Madeline, I have to be close to her. Years ago, Brother Ramsey, they taught mouth-to-mouth CPR. Before there's a bag valve mask, and I remember the first CPR class I took, we didn't even have one of them little shields that they used to give out. But Brother Mac, you remember, they taught us to do mouth-to-mouth. That's what God done that day. He breathed into him the breath of life. And in order to do that, he wasn't at a distance. But he reached down in the dirt and he began forming man. And then he said, put that down a minute. He didn't say that, but put that down a minute. Come here. He said, let me. He had to be real. Had to be real close. Had to be real close. God started setting a standard right there that this was his desire with mankind. He wanted to walk with him. He wanted to fellowship with him. You know what? That day when he breathed into that man the breath of life, he also knew, you can sit back down for a minute, that the next chapter, that man was going to fail him. And you know what happened in chapter 3? He did. But look with me in chapter 3. Chapter 3. I want you to see something. Verse number 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin. Now watch this. And clothed them. Now come back, Madeline. Man's messed up. Man's tried to hide his sin and cover his sin. And you know what? God didn't make a coat and go, here, do the best you can with it. Come on now. That's not what he done. But for me to clothe her, watch this. I have to be back up close to her again. And you know what God was saying? Even though you mess up, even though I may have said, I'll always take care of you and put you on a boat and told you you would make it safely to the other side, even though you doubt me every once in a while, instead of me sitting up here on the mountain making that storm go away, I think I'll just step down there, because my heart's desire from the very beginning has been to have fellowship with mankind. Go with me to Revelation. I'm right now done. Go with me to Revelation. I want you to see one more verse, chapter 21. Chapter 21, the Bible said this in verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Watch verse 4, the beginning of verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You know what? I had a hanky. You know what? I can't wipe her tears away from right here. I'm pretty close to her right now. I can't wipe her tears away from right here. But you know what? Come back up here and help Daddy again. You know what I can do when she's up close to me? It's going to be all right. Everything. You say, preacher, what do you say? Here's what I'm saying. God and Jesus sitting up there on the mountain could have said, peace be still, and it would have been fine. But let me tell you the reason I believe in all of my heart that Jesus came off that mountain and went to them. Because right from the beginning, he was laying the groundwork that Brother Dakota hears what he wants. Here's what. He could have spoke it up there. He knew Peter was going to sink, but he didn't let him. As soon as Peter cried for help, you know what he done? He brought him back up close to him. They walked back in the boat, and once they got in the boat, the wind ceased. His stepping. You say, preacher, the storm's raging right now. I understand that it may be. And I'm not, I don't talk about my personal things in the church. or the people in the church. But I'd say this, the wind's blowing pretty good in my life right now. There's some things that I really don't understand right now. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep on sailing. I'm just going to keep on supplicating. Because at just any moment, Brother Ramsey, he may step out and come right down in my storm with me. And even though the storm may not cease, when the Savior's in the storm with you, everything's all right. And I want you to hear me, and I want you to hear me well. One day we're going through our last storm. We're facing our last trouble. One day I'm going to the hospice house my last time. One day I'm going to leave my last funeral possession to a cemetery one day. And he is going to step out. And the Lord himself shall descend with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I think I'll just keep serving him. I think I'll just keep relying on him. I got on this old boat over 20 years ago and it's never failed me yet. It's still sailing just fine. There's times the storms come, but in the midst of the storm there is a Savior that steps out in my direction and helps me, and is close to me and just pulls me up close to him. And one day I'll cry my last tear. I'll shed my last tear. And the Savior himself. The Savior himself will wipe those tears out of my eyes.